The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Rithm. Commerce faces rising costs, unpredictable customers, and the rapid rise of AI. But a new Rithm survey shows the bigger risk isn't tariffs or inflation, it's internal drag. Slow processes and messy data are holding brands and retailers back. See how they're tackling it and why speed and agility will be the real edge in 2026. Download it at rithm.com/ready. That's rithm.com/ready. It's November 13th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, same-day facilities key to Amazon's new powerful grocery strategy. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon steps down. The Real Real records record GMV during earnings. Google releases some AI shopping updates. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first in our shopping cart full of news. Same-day facilities key to Amazon's new powerful grocery strategy. After about a year of going underground and not drawing too much attention to its retrenchment in the grocery category, it's clear to me what happened. Amazon went back to basics and focused on what makes Amazon, Amazon. In other words, duh, the flywheel. Gone are the days where you're hearing about a nationwide physical footprint rollout, essentially learning grocery from scratch within Amazon through an endless series of hires with ultimately questionable results. In a world where I've lost count on the number of Amazon grocery and convenience store strategy shifts, Amazon has quietly put together a string of wins in grocery. Let's start with the scoreboard to Walmart. Amazon in their last earnings report said that they have over $100 billion in gross merchandising sales in the last 12 months from grocery, even excluding Whole Foods. Walmart might be what, three times that number? That's ChatGPT's best guess given available figures. Here's what I would say is different since Tony Hoggett exited stage left, seemingly abandoning most of their new Amazon Fresh grocery formats, expanding what is available at Whole Foods both in-store and delivery ship from store using both micro-fulfillment and same-day facilities. They've unified their cart and supply chain into one, allowing perishables and traditional shelf-stable Amazon grocery selection to appear in one cart. Focus on same-day facilities to drive grocery adoption, which is speed equals frequency equals sales. That's the Amazon playbook. And perishables are now coming from same-day facilities. So how many same-day facilities are there? Same-day grocery now serves over 1,000 cities, but by the end of the year, same-day facilities will serve 2,300 cities. And just to compare it to Walmart, although Walmart has about 4,500 stores, guess how many cities Walmart serves? About 2,600. According to reports, there are about 100,000 SKUs in a typical Amazon same-day facility, and obviously much more than grocery, since they're designed to serve all Amazon, but it is a start. And Walmart supercenters have about 140,000 SKUs, but a lot of that is grocery. Amazon scale could still yet disrupt online grocery given enough time and patience. Physical retail will still remain dominant for a long time, especially in this category, but a lot does depend on how long online grocery will keep outpacing physical grocery growth by 3 to 5 times above it a year. Owning a big chunk of the industry's growth strategy is not a bad approach for Amazon, I don't care who you are, and Amazon's own playbook could accelerate this trend just by executing the basics, delivering faster, creating more habits, expanding selection, and same-day facilities, and then repeat. Our second story. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon steps down. In a story that broke just while I was sitting down to record, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon has stepped down from his role as CEO of Walmart effective January 2026 to be succeeded by John Furner, the current president of Walmart US. Walmart has a tremendous executive model for succession, and it usually goes something like this, and my friend Girish was actually the one who called this out to me. You become head of Sam's US, then you go to Walmart International, then you run Walmart US, and then you become the Walmart CEO. It's a very General Motors, Jack Welch-style approach to management, which seems to have turned out well. Let me give you a feeling for Doug's history. He comes into CEO in 2014, and Walmart e-commerce is not really a thing, probably less than one-third of Amazon's e-commerce growth. In 2016, he makes a bold move to buy Jet.com for $3.4 billion and puts Mark Lurie over all Walmart e-commerce strategy to give Walmart a kick in the pants. Walmart Marketplace exists at this time, but it's very small and less than 20,000 sellers. Mark Lurie, of course, is given wide latitude since he's supposed to be the expert. And the acquisition is widely criticized, but looks prescient in the backdrop. And $3 billion is a high number, seems very quaint in our AI era of multi-trillion dollar valuations. During this era, Walmart's e-commerce grows a lot faster, and Walmart starts to be seen as a credible number two to Amazon. Yet, Walmart also, at Mark Lurie's direction, acquires ModCloth, Moose Jaw, Bonobos, Shoes.com, Bare Necessities, and Eloquy, mostly to add new supply to Walmart. Problem is, many of these are failing companies, so there's that. By the time it gets to 2019 and 2020, the party is over for Jet and the gang, starting to overstay their welcome. Most of these acquisitions are either divested or shut down, with Mark Lurie himself finally leaving in 2021. From there, the rest is kind of history. Walmart refocuses on its core, really scales the marketplace, adds on advertising, fulfillment, and other digital revenue streams, and then scales them all. As far as I'm concerned, Doug McMillon, as CEO of Walmart, really hit it out of the park. Revenue went up 50% during his tenure, and the stock price went up 400% as well. Viewed through this lens, it's easy to excuse a $3 billion acquisition price with what is now an $800 billion market cap company in Walmart on a trajectory to clear $1 trillion in market power very soon here. Our third story. The RealReal records record GMV during earnings. It looks like we're back to post-pandemic again, consumers pulling back, and that is affecting the RealReal, but in a positive way. GMV is up 20% year over year. Basically, the message is clear. People keep trading down, and the RealReal is benefiting, including its stock price. The worry somewhat is the holiday season, but I don't see a reason that transactions will be down. It is possible we could see slightly depressed average order values this holiday season, but that also seems like something we've been witnessing all year too. And our last story. Google releases some AI shopping updates. In an update that left me a little underwhelmed, Google has released some AI shopping updates this week, and here's what was announced. First, they launched an AI tool that will help you click and call stores on your behalf and then return the results to you. Second, Google seems to be added an AI follow-up mode onto Google Shopping, which lets you use conversational search to narrow down what you're looking for. Third, Google reported that there will be sponsored listers in search results. Yippee! Just what I was waiting for from the incumbent. Look, can I rant for a second? No one answers the phone anymore, Google. I swear I can't get anyone in the United States to answer the damn phone. Certainly not at a business. And when I'm in any business in person, I just watch as the phone rings and no one even knows or cares how to answer it. So this first feature seems useless in the extreme. Also, Google Shopping is not going to be winning Google any awards anytime soon. Sponsored listings? Seems like a world without in-shitified results lasted about 5 minutes. All told, I see Google suffering from a severe case of innovator's dilemma. OpenAI has, well, an opening here, and they're going to keep driving through it. It may take time, but it feels to me like Google is not meeting the moment. The bigger question is, will it matter at all? Distribution is still the most important thing on the internet because of built-on network effects. And while OpenAI is pretty decent, it's not going to replace Google for everything because Google is so damn fast at producing results for a lot of things. And they have a ton of proprietary datasets that OpenAI simply does not have. Google Maps is a great example of this. And hello, Android and Chrome. Despite popular reports, the browser wars are not, I repeat, not heating up. Last I checked, Chrome still has 70% market share. Obviously, very early innings, but the average user simply does not ever switch something core like a browser. While it doesn't mean people can't just use it to access ChatGPT, it also means that Google isn't going anywhere for a while either, especially if they finally get smart and start to disrupt themselves. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, e-commerce reseller Pattern seeks $321 million in IPO. Amazon Brand Accelerator, also known as Reseller Pattern, priced its shares is $13 to $15 each, valuing the company at $2.64 billion. The company plans to raise approximately $321.4 million in funding, of which half will be given to investors. Second, VF Corporation sells Dickies to Blue Star Alliance for $600 million. VF Corp sold workwear and streetwear brand Dickies for $600 million in cash to global brand management firm Blue Star Alliance. VF Corp continues to sell underperforming apparel brands to pay down debt. Third, Bed Bath & Beyond closes Kirkland's home acquisition. Bed Bath & Beyond completed its $10 million acquisition of Kirkland's home trade name and brand assets from the Brand House Collective. Bed Bath & Beyond is expanding Kirkland's home into the wholesale sector for the first time. Fourth, JumpMine announces strategic investment from Loanview Capital. Retail technology platform JumpMine announced that it's received a strategic investment from private equity firm Loanview Capital, which acquired a controlling stake for an undisclosed price. And finally, Invive AI raises $15 million Series A to power self-improving agents for agentic commerce. Seattle-based Invive AI, which builds AI agents for retailers, has announced it's raised $15 million in Series A funding. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find The Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/watsonweekly and wherever you get your podcasts.